The surface of the Earth is, as you probably know, about two-thirds covered in water. Today, that is. But go back 4.4 billion years and it's a different story. The early Earth is thought to have been dry as a bone. And in fact, just how we came to have all that lovely wet stuff that made life possible has been a matter of considerable debate. Apparently, there was lots of water elsewhere in the early solar system, but somehow it had to get from there to here. Well, new work by a group using the Herschel Space Observatory seems to suggest an answer to that puzzle. The water came courtesy of comets. Dr. Derek Lees, a physicist at the California Institute of Technology, was part of the team that had a good close look at Comet Hartley 2 during its approach to the sun in 2009. And what they saw was the fingerprint of Earth's water. Dr. Lees, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you for having me.
Now, why has the source of the Earth's water been a puzzle up until now?
Well, as you pointed out, the Earth is two-thirds covered with water, and water is, of course, the key ingredient for the development of life, so we would like to understand where the Earth water came from. Comets are dirty snowballs. They contain a lot of water, so they were suggested a long time ago as a possible source of Earth water. But that had to be verified by looking at the chemical fingerprint of different water reservoirs.
Well, why did people generally think that comets brought water to the Earth in the first place?
Our basic understanding of the formation of the solar system is that the temperature at the location where the Earth formed was simply too high, and any water or water ice that could have been present there in the first place would have evaporated and escaped. So later on, water had to be brought by other means to provide the oceans and water reservoirs that we see today.
Oh, I see. We were just too hot because in the early solar system, water couldn't be here, so it had to come from somewhere else.
Correct. I mean, there is a temperature gradient in the protosolar disk, and a temperature of around 100 degrees Kelvin is the limit above which water ice cannot exist. It just evaporates and escapes. And this is what defines the so-called frost line or snow line within the disk, which is somewhere in the middle of the asteroid belt. So the inner solar system inside this frost line was too hot for water ices to exist. And the outer solar system outside of the frost line is where the water ices could have survived. And this is the potential source of water.
Okay, so the frost line was just beyond Mars, between Mars and Jupiter.
Between Mars and Jupiter at around 2.7 astronomical units.
Well, how can you tell by looking at water out in space, where it came from?
There are two isotopes of hydrogen, the regular hydrogen and the so-called heavy hydrogen or deuterium. And therefore, we have two flavors of water. We have normal water, which has one oxygen atom and two hydrogen atoms, and heavy water, in which one of the hydrogen atoms has been replaced by deuterium. And by measuring the ratio of heavy water to normal water, we can trace the origin of the ice.
Well, has this ratio changed over time?
Our understanding of the solar system formation and chemistry is as the solar disk formed and the density and the temperature increased, the heavy hydrogen was gradually transferred from heavy water into molecular hydrogen. So a gradient in the heavy water to normal water ratio would have developed in the solar system, with the outer solar system parts having a relatively high ratio and the inner parts, which were dense and warm, having a relatively low ratio. So by measuring this ratio in a particular object like a comet, we can trace back the origin of this object to different places in the solar system.
Okay, heavy water further out. Okay, well then, what did you see when you observed Comet Hartley 2?
Hartley 2 has exactly the same kind of water that we have on Earth, based on the isotopic composition, and therefore it is a possible source, or the kind of comets like Hartley 2 residing in the Kuiper Belt outside of the orbit of Neptune are a possible source of Earth water.
So then how does this paint the picture to you to how the comets brought water to the Earth?
Well, of course, what this shows, what this measurement shows, is that there is water in the outer solar system. There is water in the Kuiper Belt with the correct isotopic composition, the same as Earth oceans. The next question is, how do you bring this water from the Kuiper Belt to the vicinity of the Earth? And the inner solar system was much more chaotic than it is now. There was a period of time when the giant planets migrated outward, and there was much more debris in the early solar system. Therefore, comets like Hartley 2 that were present there could have interacted gravitationally with the giant planets. Their orbits could have been modified to intersect the Earth orbit, and they could have impacted the Earth, providing the water that we see here today.
So you're saying Jupiter was kicking comets around the solar system, and a lot of them were hitting us.
That's right. Jupiter is the most massive planet in the solar system, and it affects orbits of everything else, like the comets. As you said, it is kicking them around.
Now, we have a lot of water in our oceans. How many comets would it take to fill them?
Well, there is more than enough ice in the Kuiper Belt today to provide all the water that we need. So there's a lot of ice there. And early on, there was even more mass. So there is certainly enough mass. There is enough ice in the Kuiper Belt to supply the water that we need for the oceans.
So just one last thing, Dr. Lees. When you look at a glass of water, what do you see?
Well, I see a wonderful liquid, which we need every day. Without water, life could not have developed. And when I look at a glass of water, I really would like to understand where it came from. And this really puts this finding in a wider context. It's not just about water, but it's also about the origin of organic material on Earth. Maybe those initial building blocks for life. We know that comets, in addition to water, contain some pretty complex organic molecules like methylfolmate or glycoaldehyde. We don't know how far the chemistry goes. These are the most complex molecules that we have ever observed in comets, but there may be more complex ones. And in addition to bringing water to Earth, comets might have brought this raw organic material, provided the building blocks for life. So this is what I see when I look at a glass of water.
Dr. Lees, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Derek Lees is a senior research associate in physics at the California Institute of Technology. I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to Quirks and Quarks, the national science program heard every Saturday afternoon and Monday evening across Canada on CBC Radio 1. We're across North America on Sirius Satellite Radio 159, on various public radio stations throughout the U.S., and around the world via our weekly podcast. Coming up next, Nature's Nightlights.